Welcome to the Marketing Society podcast. I'm your host, Mike Pigger, editor at the Society. And for today's pod, we have another episode in our series, Starter for 10, a series of 10-minute talks from clever people in our network about things of interest to marketers. For this one, we have Alison Stewart-Allen, co-author of the book Working with Americans, to talk about the global versus local dilemma CMOs face when marketing internationally, plus aspects of culture that need to be addressed in any localization. Over to you, Alison.
Great. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure being here. And one of my favorite topics is how you manage this integration of doing things around the world consistently, but also doing things in local places that's equally resonant. So, having spent 30 or so years now doing this and helping a wide variety of companies who are trying to make sure they're successful in both of those settings, one of the things that's very clear is one size does not fit all. And there are countless examples of firms that make assumptions that the rest of the world is like them. And, I think that's a very human thing to do. I think as a marketer, we want to assume very much that other markets are like our own at home, but often we have to learn the hard way. We have to learn very expensively that is definitely not the case. So I think this whole idea of brand localization is critical for CMOs and everyone who works in not just the marketing function, but across your organization. Let me give you a couple examples, though, to bring this whole idea to life. So, not so long ago, Tesco launched a retail format in the US called Fresh and Easy, which is a name that, as you might expect, was very popular in the Bay Area and many other communities for its name. But the assumption was, well, we can do things the way we do them at home, and the Californians and other Americans will just love what we do. Now, granted, Tesco did spend millions of dollars doing its market research. It built a replica store and a soundstage to the eastern part of Los Angeles and tried to learn, and hopefully did learn, that there were definite preferences that were different than they are here in the UK. But then they installed a store and they didn't really take their own advice and thought, well, we can still do a lot of the things that we do in the UK, such as bagging the produce, putting them in net bags like apples and oranges that you see in your local Tesco or any British supermarket for that matter. And the Americans will buy a whole bag rather than each individual item. However, they learned that that is not what Americans prefer to do when they're in a grocery setting, and they do choose each apple, each onion, each head of cauliflower, rather than wanting it pre-packed. So that, as well as, of course, the car parking sizes, the spaces weren't sufficiently wide for the American SUVs. There were a host of challenges that, unfortunately, Tesco learned, by making mistakes. And, many companies do this. They assume that not only the format or the value proposition will be the same, and they sometimes also assume that the brand and brand name can work in different parts of the world. So if you think about, unfortunately, Umbro, the soccer football brand of sportswear and shoe brand, so they took a shoe model to the US that they named Zyklon. Now, maybe they thought that meant cyclone, and that's a cute name, and isn't that interesting? But frankly, a very simple Google search would have told them, even when this happened over a decade ago, that Zyklon was the name of the gas used by Nazis in the World War II gas chambers. So to send a shoe to New York City as your first stop to the Foot Locker stores with a name like that, well, probably not going to land you in the good graces of American retailers nor its consumers. So those are just two of many examples of companies that have messed up. Granted, those are both American examples. There are several around the world where it's not just British companies, it's any company that needs to recognize that differences are not wrong. They are just differences. And by making an assumption that your international market is definitely going to be different, but defining how it's different and how those differences manifest themselves when it comes to your value proposition, your after-sales service, your brand name, and a myriad of other variables that are in your control as a senior marketer, I think it you will definitely then be successful because you have made the assumption from the start that these markets are going to be different and your job, therefore, is to define in which ways. So I think one of the things we know is that, you know, cultural differences are what makes makes it so interesting to be an international marketer. But they also help define how those markets operate. So let me just suggest a few cultural differences of many to pay attention to. One is about time. So in some parts of the world, we can say that certain cultures are tight when it comes to time. So they consciously manage time. They look to save it. They value it. They measure it. They try to keep it. And I would say Northern Europe, the UK, Netherlands, Germany, US, these are business cultures where time is tight. And there are others where time is loose. So Mexico, Latin Europe, South America, Middle Eastern business cultures, where what matters more is the relationship building, getting to know people before you conclude a business deal, rather than do the transaction first and then get to know them. So what's important, therefore, is if you understand the target market that you're going into, and you know that maybe it's a tight or a loose business culture, or it values getting relationships built first before negotiating, or let's achieve tasks before building relationships. If you know this, then that goes a long way, not only towards your negotiation strategy, but also your marketing strategy, because you will know what consumers or your business-to-business clients might be looking for in terms of, do you amplify the fact that you are helping people save time? Do you amplify perhaps that your value proposition helps build relationships or helps achieve tasks or provides convenience? So I think what underpins all of this is if you want to be both a successful global and local marketer, you first need to study the culture. So my professor when I did my MBA was Peter Drucker. And many of you may well know who Dr. Peter Drucker was. However, though he's famous for saying culture eats strategy for breakfast, he's also famous for saying the purpose of a business is to create a customer. And now that you've had a few tips from me today on some of the ins and outs of getting both the global and the local right by studying that local landscape, studying the implications of culture, you are in a very good place to be able to integrate those two things and manage this dilemma of global and local, because we know that every CMO in any business that has an international operation certainly faces this challenge.
Thank you, Alison. That was great. It put me in mind of when you're talking about some of the examples of, I think Coke did something with the Dasani water in the UK.
Yes, I remember it very well.
Yeah, with a certain unfortunate phrase that didn't, just made UK people laugh, really. And as a result, it didn't plan out well.
What was the phrase, Michael?
So I think it was spunk. So it was basically,
Yes,
this water's full of spunk. get your spunk water, etc. And Dave Trott actually wrote a piece about this that's on the Society website. We'll put a link in the show notes, but it's a funny read.
Please do. And in fact, in the show notes, would you be very kind enough to put a link to workingwithamericans.com?
Yeah, of course. I was going to mention that. So a thing to say, yes, obviously to listeners, is go buy your book.
Yes, please.
Lots of good stuff in there.
Thank you. I'd be really grateful. So would my co-author.
And and then if there's anything else you're up to, projects or things you want to point people to, we'll put those in the show notes as well.
So I'm speaking at the World Retail Congress 2022 in Rome.
Sounds exciting and big and wonderful.
Yes. So that's one. And the other that is worth referencing is I'm also speaking at the Global Female Leaders Forum.
Okay.
And that's in Berlin in May of next year.
Amazing.
So thank you.
You'll be jet setting around.
Hopefully I'll be traveling, that we won't be locked down with COVID. Yeah, I hope that's true.
Good stuff. Well, yeah, so it just remains to say, we'll put a link into all those things. But for now, thank you so much for coming on the Marketing Society podcast.
A pleasure. Thank you for asking.